listening content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, April 28th. It's a solemn morning for us, folks. I'm here alone in the studio. Stephanie lost her dog this morning, and she sent me an email. Got killed by a car and this morning. And, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps when I'm thinking about it because Stephanie loves her dog. She loves dogs, period. And our condolences to Stephanie. I do have two great guests in the studio, and we'll try and keep the mood up a little bit. We have the hosts of Oh Mary, Mary Kennedy. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And we have Paul Jacek, of course. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
I always mess up your last name. I don't know why. I was going to say Sajak, you know, but it's not Pat Sajak. No, you are not on, on Wheel of Fortune, I don't think.
Although he wants to be.
Yes. So so these two host the show, Oh Mary, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And how long have you guys been doing this now? A few good months, huh?
A year.
A year already?
May 18th was our first
really?
Anniversary.
Wow.
Show. It's been a year. Can you imagine?
Wow. Time flies, man. It seems just like yesterday, you know?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Did you count how many shows you've done?
We're coming up on 52.
Yeah,
52. Yeah, I don't think you guys ever missed a show, you know, which is admirable in my book.
Yeah.
We have such a great time. Such a great time.
Yeah.
You really do, and you guys have great chemistry and stuff. How long have you known each other?
Well, we met on the road at a dirty lodge in San Diego County,
and we did this
really awful self-help conference, and Paul and I looked across the crowd at each other and said, really? And we ended up that night, we all went to San Diego and had dinner, and Paul's an intuitive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Psychic. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he scared the pants or the panties off of me when we were in San Diego with my husband and Marty McGibbon, mm-hmm. who we also mm-hmm. toured with. And he just, it was great. We just hit it off. It was kind of mm-hmm. like, you know, mm-hmm. And then he just wouldn't stop calling, and he was stalking me, and I couldn't get rid of him. So no. But he's great. And that's how we met, and we've mm-hmm. been doing comedy ever since. And he's my gay. And
he's your gay. You know, Stephanie said yesterday, she says, I love gay men. I just love gay men. And she hangs out with them. So I was thinking, like, Mary, you always say, you know, every straight woman should have a gay man in her life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure if the gay man should have a straight woman. I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts, Paul?
No, I think so. I certainly, my life has been richer because of it. My mother was a straight woman. Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Yeah. So I think it enhances my life a great deal.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I'm always the one that outs him. Like, I'm always like, oh, he's gay. And everyone's like, hi, Mary, we know.
Well, Mary, I don't think people look at me and go, I bet he has three children and lives in the west end of the valley. I don't think they think that, Mary.
But they did when you took me to labor and delivery with my second child.
Yes, they did. They thought I was your husband.
Really?
My God. They said, why don't you wait here while we get Mary ready, you know, because they were going to do the exam, quote unquote. And mm-hmm. Paul went to geriatrics.
I was sitting trying to be a supportive friend, and because Charles was so bored.
He was done.
He was so bored with you going into labor every 5 minutes. And you were pregnant for 3 years, actually, It went on for a very long time. They shut the door behind us, and this very sweet nurse goes, "No, you can stay. That would be lovely." I'm like, "Oh, no, no." Mm. And by this time, Mary has her knees in her ears, you know, and I'm like, "Oh, no." And I said, "Excuse me." I said, "Well, Mary, these people are good here. They're at your cervix. So I'm out of here." So I went down to the geriatrics ward.
He did. We had a page
him.
When they were ready to send me out, we're like, "Paul Jacek, please come to maternity. Paul Jacek, you're wanted in maternity."
Wrong floor.
Yeah, no, he was in geriatrics in the fetal position crying. It was fun.
Oh, no. And they said, "Just walk her."
Yeah.
Like she's a Shih Tzu. And so I just walked her all over Westwood, hoping she'd drop. But no, that would go on for a very long time. We did have snacks, though.
We had snacks. We always have snacks on the O'Mary show.
Yeah.
We do.
How many kids do you have, Mary?
They feel like 40. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, little ones. No, I have two. They're Irish twins. My joke is I wasn't drunk when I conceived them. They're 19 months apart. Uh-huh. 2.5 and almost 5.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca's running the country, my 5-year-old.
Really?
She's running.
Amazing.
She's running alongside Donald Trump. She asked for the birth certificate. No, but yeah, that's kind of where we are. So it's tiring and exhausting and fabulous.
They're wonderful children.
And Paul helps me. Like,
yeah.
He's a big part.
Do you babysit sometimes?
I do.
Really?
I do.
How cool. You definitely need a gay man in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
If for nothing else, than to babysit.
I rent him out, everyone, if you need him. Call him
He's available.
He's available for children's parties. Anyway.
Oh.
Sorry.
No balloons, however. No balloons or clowns. No.
So, Paul, are you originally from L.A.?
No, actually, I'm from Colorado.
Oh, really? Where in Colorado?
Just a little bit north of Denver in a wonderful town called Longmont, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And most of my family still lives there.
Really?
I used to try and get back once a month.
Uh-huh. And what made you want to move here?
Well, you know, bless my family. They didn't...
I love them, but I wanted to move away.
Gay children rarely have gay parents, you know? So my poor father said, if you're going to play with a parasol, do it in the backyard. The other cowboys are nervous. And so I realized at 18, two things were going to happen. I was going to develop a really good drinking problem, and this poor overweight girl and I were going to get married. So I wouldn't be strapped to a pole and beaten to death, or I would get out of town. I'd heard there was a place for people like me, and it turned out to be Pasadena, California. And a theater school. And so I came out to go to school in California, and I also came out... in 76, and it was on and popping here, though, you know. It was little satin shorts and puka shells, and the 70s were phenomenal.
So you lived here in the 70s?
I did.
Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah, the 70s were a good time. I lived in Vegas during the 70s.
Really?
Woohoo!
Yeah, it was the best time ever. That's when I first came from Israel, so I was 16, and those were like my teen years, you know. The best time ever, let me tell you.
Fremont Street.
And Fremont Street. Picking up chicks, going to the mountains with kegs of beer and parties.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that was when it was still for adults. It went through that nasty family period where even the hookers had to dress up like Barney to get noticed. There were roller coasters. And I know.
They put like a fair, like a fun park at MGM, I guess.
Yeah.
That lasted 2 months.
No.
But Rita Rudner's always in the split. Have you noticed that when you go to Vegas? She's in these posters in the split, and it looks wildly uncomfortable. Sorry.
Who's that? Rita Rudner?
Rita Rudner is at the New York Hotel, but she's always... That photo of her in the split has gone through the ages. And
really?
As a comic, I find it uncomfortable and scary all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny that she still performs, you know? I mean, she's... But I guess Vegas is her place, huh? Yeah.
That and Celine Dion,
A lot of comics, that's where they found their niche.
Right.
You know, was in Vegas. Vegas used to be, certainly, when I was growing up, the stop on the way to Los Angeles. So your parents, you know, if you were a kid, you got to go to the pool. That was
it.
You weren't allowed in the casinos. You were in the, but and you could get a really good show for cheap bucks, you know.
Yeah.
And prime
and buffets. $2.99. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, because we
it
we
was a different time.
We've toured to Laughlin. That's sort of the mini Vegas. And
they say it's beautiful there.
It is.
It's beautiful.
We had a great time. Yeah. It's Vegas 25 years ago.
Yeah. Really?
It is.
Wow.
And we toured there. That was the one where I told you that, you know, he wakes up at 6 a.m. and there's birds flying out of his butt. And,
what?
Yeah. No. And you're making coffee. Come on, little girl, wake up. No.
Yeah. I'm a morning person. Mary just isn't.
So when we're on the road, it's tiring. And then you go to sleep at
4:30 in the afternoon.
The early bird special. He's asleep. And his screamers.
Yeah. I know. I started sleeping in the afternoon, too, because when it gets hot outside, it really makes me tired, you know? And, you know, after lunch and everything, you just, like, give me a little nap. And I never used to take naps, you know, but... I don't know. I'm getting older, man. Mm-hmm.
And Israel, do they have the siesta like they do in Spain? And I know
like
it's not
between
Europe.
Between 2 and 4? Yeah. They do have that in some places. Not as much anymore. Mm-hmm. But it's because, you know, when it's small businesses, then the owner wants to take a little lunch break, you know. So they go from 2 to 4. People either go home to have lunch and take a nap and sort of thing. And they close the shop for 2 hours, you know. But they don't do that anymore. I don't
so
think,
civilized, yeah. though, don't you find? After a little nap, I'm always more pleasant in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Yeah, so civilized.
Yeah. At the same time, don't go shopping between 2 and 4.
There's nothing to do.
Be open.
No, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. So, Paul, you're an intuitive. What does that mean?
Well, I think actually most entertainers are. I think actually everyone is, especially if you're in entertainment. Mm-hmm. It is just, it's not really a gift. It's a skill.
Right.
And I learned to read tarot when I was in high school.
Really?
So I just went on and on. I also had a grandmother that I didn't know that she was actually doing a sort of training with me. Because she realized I was sort of a creative child, she would pick up something and hand it to me and say, tell me the story.
Wow.
So I was getting impressions off of items.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would do that with other members of my family, they would go, how would you know that?
Wow.
Because mm-hmm. I would get information. And mm-hmm. I thought I was making it up. But really, where does it come from anyway? Why would you think that thought about? And how I know that I'm in the stream is I will get information, but I have no emotional attachment to it.
I see.
So if I'm holding a watch or a ring of yours, I might think I could see a living room and, you know, I see that they have a red couch and they have a blue vase, but I have no emotional attachment to it.
I see.
So that's how I know it's information that isn't mine.
Yeah. Well, usually I don't have emotional attachments to vases either, you know. But,
but Paul does.
But Paul does. You know, on the other hand, when it's my stuff, it is, you know, fraught with emotion. So
you don't want to get between a man and his vase. That's what I say. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Lovely things stay. Little boys don't heal. That's when I broke a vase. Actually, my mother said, little boys heal, vases don't. What were you doing in the living room?
That sounds like a really scary Brady Bunch episode. Mm-hmm.
Well, the living room, we saved it for good.
Yeah,
I came from a family that we saved it for good.
Yeah, my grandma.
I remember my grandmother had a bottle of perfume I'd given her, you know, 25 years ago, and it was still in the original box. I said, Nana?
Yeah.
She goes, I'm saving it for good. I said, you're 86. Good happened.
Splash it all over
dump
that
it
body,
all over.
Grandma.
Drink it.
Splash
what
it, Grandma.
What are you doing? What are you saving it for? You know, prom? Really?
So this is interesting. You know, last night we watched the movie Hereafter. Did you see that movie with Matt Damon? It's a Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh, yeah.
And
I did not.
Yeah, and he's like, Matt Damon is like a psychic, and mm-hmm. he can, you know, feel people when they, like the whole movie is about people that die and come back mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever it is, and he's able to communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an interesting movie. You know, it wasn't that great. But they had a great, like, tsunami recreation in the beginning,
Ooh.
You know, all CGI and everything. But it was amazing, you know. And when you think about this, they did this right before the Japan one.
And, oh, that's right.
Yeah, so it's sort of like you could relate to it, you know. And that was a great scene in the beginning, you know, to see that. But then one character drowns, she comes back, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it away, but... But, yeah, it was kind of hard to understand, you know. But I don't know. I'm fascinated with this stuff, you know.
Well, Mary and I have communicated with the dead. We've played the Comedy Store at one of the
Really?
Mornings, so
a lot of dead people
that's
there.
That's a great deal. Like, oh, wow, it's just two drunks and the piano player. Yeah.
Yeah, that is good. I think you want to be dead at that moment. I think you're like, please take me, God. Take me out of this situation.
Well, and, you know, the whole hoopla about all this extra sense, you know, because people run on their intuition anyway. Everyone
and
does.
And moms do. I can say that.
Yeah. Everyone does. Because people say, especially guys, when guys are talking about it, but they don't want to cop to it, they go, well, I felt it in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you're doing.
Or somewhere else.
Mary. Really? Really?
Yeah.
But, you know, just because people are dead doesn't make them interesting.
That's true.
You know?
Only sometimes.
I talk to someone dead. Wow. You know, you're getting information from a 35,000-year-old busboy? Really? What? No. I don't. Please.
Do you want to tell him about the Laughlin situation with my father? That was crazy.
Well, I guess you've led right into it.
I'm sorry. Am I allowed to do that? I don't mean to.
What a nice segue. No, that's fine.
So my dad passed away 5 years ago.
Bless his soul.
And my father was an Irish Catholic. And my father loved casinos. He loved Vegas. It was like heaven on earth for him. And we were on the road. And we were sharing a room. Mm-hmm. Usually we don't, but we did this time. And we were sharing a room, and he's, you know, put his hair up and put his curlers in.
I don't have any hair, Mary.
And was moisturizing, and we were giggling as we went off to sleep, talking about boys. And all of a sudden, I'm like dozing off, and Paul goes, "What did you say? It's so creepy."
Well, you know, and it was like summer camp, I have to say, for the middle-aged. We're like laughing. And all of a sudden, it got real cold, and I felt someone sit on the end of my bed.
Wow.
And I went, oh. So I said to Mary, "I think there's someone here." And of course, because she's so calm and pulled together, she's like, "Wah!" and he sat on the end of her bed.
Really?
And that's when I went, you know, I asked in my mind who it was, and it was her father.
Wow.
And so but you did at first, because you creeped me out. You said, "Whoever you are, may the Lord Jesus Christ come in and take you away," or whatever. Yeah. I was like, "Oh my God, we're in The Exorcist. Somebody's going to be walking downstairs backwards." I was frightened.
Well, because, you know, I didn't know who it was just yet. So, you know, get out.
Right. And so then
it's kind of like when you're in the bathroom and somebody opens the door, really just leave.
And so I did feel this thing sit on my bed, freaked me out. And I was up like the light. I was up on like the light. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Grab, if you have anything that you care about, grab it and sleep with it tonight." Mm-hmm. And so I had my grandma's rosary, because I go on the road with my grandma's rosary all the time. And I held onto it all night. And then we promptly the next day switched rooms. We got another room.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't blame
you. She thought she would confuse her father. Really?
And I didn't really believe him until we were in the middle of the casino floor and this flash of like cold air surrounded us. Uh-huh. And he goes, "Your father's here." And I believe
really?
Him.
Really?
And what's interesting...
What about air conditioning, if you consider that? That maybe it
no, it's far more interesting to consider that my father's in the middle of it. No, but the reason why it all connects is when I was pregnant with Rebecca, and I found out I was pregnant with my daughter the day of my dad's funeral.
Wow.
I felt every night before I went to bed during my pregnancy, someone sit on the edge of my bed.
Really?
And that was my dad.
Wow.
And just recently he did the same thing. I'm convinced. No. Or it's some creepy person that's stalking me. I'm not sure, but I think it's my father.
Wow.
And it's very comforting now. At first it was a little disconcerting.
Right.
And you know, when I was pregnant, I would say to him, "Could you go up and pee for me? Because I can't get up." But
wow. Wow.
So, but no, I don't think Paul is hogwash anymore.
No.
Gosh, Mayor, thanks.
At a certain point, you did feel that.
Well, I'm a skeptic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was on the Haunted Playground, on this network, I was a skeptic because it kind of freaks me out to really believe in it. But I come from a long line of Irish Catholic. We have druids in our family who were
really?
Kind of mystics. Yeah.
Wow.
You know.
That's why, if you happen to be an entertainer and or a stand-up comic, Mary, you can read a room just as, you know, amazing as if you were an intuitive, because you are. Because we can feel the energy in the room. You know when things are going well and when they're not.
I suppose, especially in comedy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are both comedians and stuff, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so you met like at a comedy place, right?
Mm-hmm.
We met at that awful thing, yeah. And,
right.
But we also did a show in Long Beach for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We co-headlined together, which means... Sometimes I set up the room for him, I feature for him, or he'll feature for me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, how cool.
Yeah.
And you guys perform around town?
Yeah, we
performed
at Laugh Factory in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
We have Zanies is coming up the 6th and 7th of June in Chicago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll be there. If folks want tickets, they can call 312-337-4027. There you go.
Wow.
Very quick. So we go and we do that, and we do a lot of service, too.
Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of benefits for folks.
Wow, how cool.
We were part of the Laugh Factory's longest stand-up comedy show.
With Guinness Book of World Records.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we got to perform with, everybody at the comedy or at the Laugh Factory. And then we've done the Comedy Store's Midnight Show.
Yeah, we've done that. And the Guinness Book of World Records was great for Paul because it was early morning comedy.
Yeah.
It ran for 85 hours?
Yeah, 85
It was during
hours.
The holidays.
85 hours?
It was nonstop comedy. And
there
was a woman in the front row, bless her heart, that was there for the whole 85 hours.
Really?
So by the time our slots were like 9 and 9:15.
Your last day, yep.
Yeah, the last day. And so when I walked on stage, and as comics, we had to bring a toy. Because then all of the toys, so the
it was
stage
the holidays.
Was filled
yeah,
with
Christmas.
With
wow,
Monica.
How cool.
Yeah.
And I looked out at this woman who had a whole table, one of those little cocktail tables full of Red Bull cans. But she was there, and she was awake for it, bless her heart. So she was there for the entire 85 hours.
Wow. And that can seem like eternity. I know when I go to comedy clubs, mm-hmm. if they're not funny, ooh, it's like you really want to get out of there, ooh, you know. And it's been a long time since I went and saw some funny people, you know. That's why I would love to come and see you guys.
Oh, we'd love it.
Yeah. If you can manage to be funny, that
way. We'll try.
Well, you know, comedy is somebody once said, death is easy, comedy is hard.
Really?
And because by the time you walk to the microphone, mm-hmm. the audience already thinks they know everything they need to know about you in those 3 seconds.
Really?
Yep.
So whatever you say confirms or denies what they already know.
Well.
So in those first few seconds, if you don't have them, that's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, a singer can sing the same song for 25 years and we call it a standard.
Right.
A comedian tells the same joke twice and people say, I've heard it.
Yeah.
So you have to, doing the craft correctly, you have to be continually writing and honing and listening and working and, Mary does half of that.
Nice.
I tease her. But we bounce stuff off each other all the time to keep it fresh and keep it new.
Nice. So when is a upcoming show here in town?
We're waiting to hear. We're probably going to be...
at the Downtown Comedy Club. Did we get a date for that?
We have not got the Downtown Comedy Club.
No date.
But no date yet. But we are going to be... There's like two venues, the Pig and Whistle and Malo, that we're waiting on their date. So we'll let people know.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Come on down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or go out to coffee with us.
Yeah.
We'll be funny.
Yeah. We're two coffee
we
minimum, actually.
We'll
snacks.
Yeah, we're two coffee minimum and a donut. So that's what we'll do.
Yeah. We can arrange that, no problem.
Yeah.
So, there's some cool concerts coming into town as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was posting on Facebook yesterday that Deep Purple is coming to town.
I saw that.
Remember that?
You bet. Smoke on the
them?
Water.
Yes, absolutely.
Dun.
I mean, I grew up with this music, you know, in the 70s and stuff. So, Steely Dan are coming into town and REO Speedwagon.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this idea to give away some tickets, you know. I'm going to buy them with my own money and we'll give them away to listeners and stuff, you know. So that should be cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Because the summer is such a great time, you know, and it's the Greek and it's open, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the Greek.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
Nice there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Mary and I, was it last year or year before last? Saw Donna Summer
at the Bowl.
Oh, really? Yeah.
She hasn't aged 10 minutes
since
I saw her in 1977.
Yeah.
Her pipes are still unbelievable.
Really?
And anybody sings gospel, I begin to cry. And she did a couple of gospel tunes. Unbelievable.
Really?
And you know,
she started with Love to Love You Baby.
She
remember
did,
that?
In Germany.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the queen of disco can't dance.
Not
she
a
can
leg.
Shift her weight.
Really?
She's
no.
kind of like Stevie Nicks, who can only spin. She just turns. Lovely.
Yeah.
They can sing, but can't dance a lick. I thought, she's got to be, you know.
Yeah.
But bless her, looked fabulous and great. In fact, the Hollywood Bowl this year has an amazing schedule.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Eddie Izzard is coming one night only, who's an amazing stand-up comic. They're doing a totally 80s night, which is the B-52s, Berlin and the Fix.
I love
B-52s. Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And it's classically, Itzhak Perlman is coming one night only to do an evening of Beethoven.
Wow.
It's a staggering schedule this year at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah. Sounds good.
And we need that. Because it's been so, you know, the world's kind of interesting now. I think you need that good entertainment.
And it's fun because we have great summers here, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, sitting outdoors and that is amazing, I think. And I just don't know, you know, I mean, you're going to go to these concerts. I would imagine people would be our age, you know, because these are like bands from back in the 70s, you know. I can't imagine too many young ones there, but I can't see myself at 50 going to a concert, you know.
Well, I don't, you know, it's interesting you said that. I met a young man who I think he's 26 or 27, and he's a fan of old time radio.
Really?
So he started telling me how much he enjoyed Burns and Allen and The Shadow. And I said, how in the... That's even before my
before
time.
Before our time, right.
And he said, well, what I find as a writer is anything that's current has no interest.
It's true.
Back then, there had to be craft. There had to be a point to what you're doing.
Right.
He said, and the wonderful thing about radio, which I happen to agree, is it's of the moment and it's the theater of the mind.
Right.
He's writing little radio dramas. I said, well, you know, I have a friend that has his own radio station. So he's still
sounds
in college.
Good.
When he gets a little time, perhaps I'll have him give you a call.
He's yeah.
But you know, I thought, how would you know Burns and Allen? But,
yeah.
yeah. In That's fact, true, another yeah. friend of mine who was a part of a comedy team named Burns and Schreiber from the 70s, Jack Burns.
Right.
And this 26-year-old goes, oh my God, they had their own show in the 70s called Burns and Schreiber Comedy Hour. I'm like, how do you know that? YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where he spends his
that's
time for
true,
his entertainment.
Huh? Wow. Yeah.
So I think there's a great hunger for honest to God talent.
I think so. And I know many youngsters, like my kids, for example, they do get into the music in the 70s. You know, I mean, even my son tells me, he says, you know, he says all the acts from the 70s are classics. They're always going to be classics. He says, I don't think today's music is ever going to be classic, you know. And
oh, come on, Lady Gaga. Come on.
Britney Spears, how can you say that?
Yeah. I know.
But it's true, you know. I mean, I read somewhere that in the past 20 years or so, there hasn't really been any breakthrough hits, you know, that like to the point where they would be they become classics, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate, you know, but I mean, most of my music that I listen to is 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes 90s, mm-hmm. but that's about it, you know.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. So we're talking to Mary Kennedy and Paul Jacek from Oh Mary. The show is on Tuesdays at 7. And for those of you just joining us, Stephanie is not in the studio today. She's devastated, as are we, for the loss of her dog this morning.
Oh, bless her heart,
and,
Stephanie.
And we send our condolences, Stephanie. It's terrible. I mean, you know, I don't particularly get into dogs, although I love them when they're other people's. But I know many people are very attached to their dogs, you know. And our hearts go out to you, Stephanie, and all the best. So, but she's into rescuing dogs and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah,
so,
wow. Excellent.
So yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want to say, well, she's going to find a replacement, because that's kind of cold to say, but eventually I'm sure she'll find another dog. And you know,
well, that's how I got my dog. I was doing some work at a vet clinic over in Sun Valley.
Yeah.
And you know, I run an amazingly silly busy life.
Really?
And they brought this box of puppies in they found next to the freeway.
Really?
And
I've never heard the story.
Yeah. And there were all these puppies, and this little dirty white ball rolled out and walked over and sat on my foot and looked up. And I'm like, oh no. And the sweet vet goes, I think you have a friend. I'm like, oh honey, no. I'm a little busy. I don't. And he goes, no. So the next day I came back in to help, and he said, oh look, she likes you, because she was running, you know, side to side. And I went, that's nice.
You do
I like
that to
too.
My children.
I do. Well, I actually make them, you know, run back and forth in the cage.
Yeah, no, that's great. Sure.
So the next day I came in, he said, well, you know what? We're real excited. Here's the leash. I went, hold on just a second. He said, the first series of shots are on me, and we've chipped her for you. And is this the right address? I went, I don't want a dog.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever had.
Really?
Oh, my God. Holly, because Stephanie, you have all my compassion. Mm-hmm. Actually, Holly, my dog, has a better resume than I do. She's seen every 3 minutes around the world.
Really?
She is Grandma's dog in the Dream House in Tomorrowland in Disneyland.
Really?
A friend of mine wrote the show and said, I need your little silly gay dog, because she's a little white Bichon Frise, and she did the in three takes.
Gay dog.
So she's seen in Orlando, Paris, Hong Kong, and Disneyland.
Wow,
in the living wallpaper
cool.
in the Dream House.
Do you get to travel with her?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking, okay, I'm pimping you out right now. Yeah. Daddy needs a new house. So, and then there was a film that we did called Creative Differences.
Produced by my husband, Charles Dennis Hall. Yeah.
That, she's actually in the credits with me. She plays my dog, Princess Malibu. And once again, did it in two takes.
Wow.
Yeah, she was better than Paul in that movie.
Wow. No, that's actually true. But she got more than one close-up.
Anyway. No, she was great.
She's a great dog.
Yeah.
I love her a lot.
Yeah.
So, just to segue, we were talking about Donald Trump before we started the show and stuff. From dogs to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, because I wanted to cover this, because, I mean, he's hogging the headlines like crazy. And, you know, so right now, I mean, Obama produced his birth certificate yesterday, and I guess this has been going back and forth since he was elected, or even before that. And so now this is going on. Donald got his, you know, what he wanted and stuff. The question is now, do you think that he stands a chance of being elected? You know, what do you think, Paul?
Well, here's what I find so frightening is I happen to be a big supporter of the president, and that he's had to, you know, deal with this foolishness and silliness is ridiculous. And people are like, well, we're protecting America. Really? However, in Donald Trump's case, that he tried to take credit for finally producing it, I thought, you are just And my fear is he's going to run with Sarah Palin.
Because, you think
and,
so?
Oh, and the women of America going, oh, we love Sarah Palin. She's got our back. She gets in office, she'll have your uterus, too.
Yeah.
So between the two of them. But, you know, there's a mistake between statesmen and politicians. Mm-hmm. I think the president happens to be a statesman. Mm. I don't quite know what Donald Trump is. I think he's a businessman, obviously very shrewd. But if he wants the president to provide his birth certificate, I want to see Donald Trump's financial support.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and all his corporate holdings and where his financials are.
If he runs, we'll get to see all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he'll run. Anybody could run. I've considered it, except we have a couple of dates that I, you know, live from the White House, the O'Mary Show.
what am I going to be, your first fag hag? Is that what it's going to be?
That'd be kind of fun.
Could you imagine us running in the yard to Air Force One with your Bichon?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'll loan you my pearls. It's good.
It's good, yeah. And then we'll have the White House will become very gay. It'll be a nice light
like
pink.
That hasn't happened. Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see a gay president in our lifetime?
I do, actually.
Really?
Not that we haven't had one before.
Oh, really?
Who was the gay president?
I'm not saying. He was a good kisser, though. Just
he's not giving it away.
Yeah.
Abe Lincoln?
No.
Oh.
A good kisser. Yeah. How would you know?
See.
So it's someone
Ronald
recent.
Ronald Reagan?
He didn't remember he was in the White House, Mary.
Well, all right.
Poor thing.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy Reagan.
Okay,
sorry.
We're running out of options here.
Yeah. No, but I think, first of all, it's becoming such, in my lifetime, it has been such a giant issue. And now, especially this friend I was telling you about, kids in their 20s, at least in large metropolitan areas, it's not the issue that it used to be. Mm-hmm. We have Ellen on, you know, we've had Will and Grace. It's now becoming such a non-issue, especially in the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they spend this much time in Israel or France or England about your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, don't scare the dog, but, you know, past that, it's your personal business.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and we're on our next show this Tuesday, which I think is the third. Is it the third? Yeah, the third. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Trevor Project, which mm-hmm. is a organization that helps youth in mm-hmm. general.
And questioning youth.
And questioning youth so they don't commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's, I love how we moved from Donald Trump to that. But, you know.
Only on this show.
Yeah. And there's lots, you know, but yeah. So, but no, Donald Trump, you know, he's an amazing businessman. And I'm not going to lie and say that I don't watch The Apprentice because I do.
Oh, Mary.
I watch Celebrity Apprentice. Of course. I'm a reality head. I love all that stuff.
Oh.
But first of all, if he is going to be in the White House, somebody please send him to a stylist so we can do something about the front over weave thing, whatever he's going
to. We're back to dog trimming.
You know what was funny? In Time magazine, they had an illustration of how he does his hair, how you can get it to be like that.
Really? It's frightening.
Yeah, first you take Easter grass, and then you staple it.
There's a lot of comb-overs there.
A lot of comb-overs.
Well, and you know, the good thing, and not that I want Donald Trump in office, but and I've said this, and I've said this all over the place, even on stage, there's a piece of me that wishes Obama was just a little bit more ghetto.
Mm.
And I think we would get more crap done. I wish he was like Sam Jackson on Snakes on a Plane. Because I think then things would get done. This whole birth certificate would have been like over.
Right.
Like, you know, but I now watch the FBI's going to come to my door. But he's kind of, Obama's a little bit of a pussy.
What?
I think so. I voted for him, but I think he's a little bit of a pussy.
I think he's an adult, Mary. We haven't had one for so long. We don't know what it looks like.
But I want him, like, really. I want to see him get ghetto, like, with the House of Reps and Congress and be like, listen, bitches, I'm here. You can't get rid of me. And then I want him to have a little bit of bling bling and drive an Escalade. That's what I want. Sorry. I like black men. And if they're ghetto, I'm enjoying it.
Wow. See.
You know, he's a little too Cosby for me.
Wow.
Little Cosby show.
Thank goodness none of those, you know, amazing acrylic sweaters.
Could you imagine? And then the college sweaters on top of it.
Oh,
that
no.
would be bad. But, and I love Bill Cosby. But that's, no, but truly, to be serious, I wish Obama was a little bit more...
Mm.
You know, balls to the wall.
Right.
And at least Trump, he may be ridiculous and you know, just trying to do publicity for himself, but at least he's out there.
Is he still married?
To Melania.
To another.
They all look alive.
Beautiful woman.
Yeah, they're all beautiful, but they, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no personality.
No, they had a kid, I think, recently.
Yeah.
Well, he has several of them.
Yeah.
Like a dwarf.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, for his age to have a baby right now is a little, you know.
How old is he?
I don't know. He seems to be in his maybe 60s. No, maybe 50s.
No, he's older than I am.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I would say he's closer to 70 than 60.
His hair is older than you.
70.
Fine, thank you.
No, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, and if Obama's obviously going to run again. I mean, I will vote for him. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got to pick up his game a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think any other president in recent history has walked into such problems.
Yeah. Paul, you're right. He's 64 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good kisser. Oh, sorry.
Good kisser, too.
You wouldn't do that. No. I'd have a problem.
See, no, I wouldn't, as a matter of fact. No, but, you know, everybody looks the same face down on the pillow.
Okay, all right. You know what? Right. No FCC. That's very good. No, but I don't know. What do you feel about Mr. Obama, Sam? President Obama.
Obama. I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm generally I'm not that into politics and stuff, but I don't know. I just don't think the problem I have with politicians in general, and that is, you know, they make all these promises, then they get into office and they become just like everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, and so, you know, that's why I feel, you know, he was talking about change, about all that stuff. I don't see that. I see we have more troops in Afghanistan, you know, but like, for example, like, I don't see his leadership when it comes to the Middle East right now, like with Libya and Syria and all this, you know, it's like, there's too much hesitation going on there, you know. I mean, I'm not for going in there at all because I think we're already spread pretty thin in the world with our military. But at the same time, you've got to take some kind of a leadership role and, you know, and stand behind what you say, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, for example, I mean, they put sanctions on Gaddafi and stuff, right? Now the same thing is happening in Syria. I don't see any sanctions going on there. You know?
Wow.
So, but they're killing people. They're killing their own people right now, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But like I said, I don't get too much into politics, so I can't really intelligently argue about it, you know? And, but you apparently for him. What are some of the things you like that he did?
Well, what's interesting, and very quietly, it hasn't been in the general news, at least from my neighborhood, he has been a great friend to the gay and lesbian community.
Right.
A lot more has gotten passed and gotten cleaned up under his administration than any other. Really? Even this mess with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is just so silly. I myself am a big supporter of our troops. Mm-hmm. And a dear friend of mine who, it was very important for him as a person to go at the age of 35 to go into the Marine Corps, which is really quite old.
Yeah.
Because he really needed to do that, and I even said to him, you know, I'm not so much worried about an enemy. We were not at war at the time.
Right.
I said, I'm afraid about the guy in the next rack that's going to kick your head in when they figure out you're a big chorus boy.
Wow.
But then when we declared war on Iraq is when he actually came out because he didn't want to shoot children for oil, which is his quote, not mine.
Right.
And but for a minute I thought, you know, if you just happen to be gay or lesbian, that should not keep you from serving your country if that's what you want to do.
That's true.
That's included in the Bill of Rights and also our Constitution.
Yeah, yeah.
So that this don't ask, who gives a rat's, please?
Right.
You know, it's a joke for my act, but I do it. You know, if you want gays out of the military, keep making the uniforms out of polyester.
Yeah.
We're done. We're keeping the Jeeps, though, because those are fun. Come to West Hollywood. We run
and
around.
And the combat boots.
Yeah, the combat boots are hot. Yeah. But other than that, or get some of those big dykes up front. You know, some angry, vicious lesbians. Give them a gun. Go.
Yeah
you'll get a lot done.
You'll get in. We'll be cleaning some stuff up
and
right there.
And a deck. You'll get a beautiful deck.
A nice deck outside your house. Yeah. And the waves.
And cats.
For those lovely people who happen to be gay and lesbian that are serving our country. So in that aspect, I think the president, but I think he's had his hands tied so many times by a divisive, and part of it comes back down to the grassroots of, we've had it so good in this country for so long, we keep thinking this one gentleman can turn it around. Really, it's in our own neighborhoods. It is, because I don't have children, I'm certainly more sensitive to this issue now with Mary's children.
Right.
Here in Los Angeles, when I came to California in the late 70s, with our community college, you could get a degree very easily. It was $5 a credit.
Right.
Our schools are in disrepair.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get musical instruments in children's hands. Mm-hmm. You know, it's start in your own neighborhood. If you know people are upset about what's going on in Washington, take care of Van Nuys.
Right.
So, yeah. You know,
please,
I think,
take care of Van Nuys.
Please take care of Van Nuys.
I'm a resident. Please make it so my property value goes up.
I think people, people.
You see,
you've
got a point there, but except the fact that those politicians did make these promises that they were going to fix this and stuff, and now you hold them accountable for it. You know,
I don't disagree at all.
Yeah, you know, so you know, if they just said, well, this is up to the communities, the president really can't affect this and stuff, then I would accept that. You know, but you know, when they come out and say this and this and this and that, and then knowing that they can't fix it in the first place, I have a problem with that.
Well, and you know, here's what I think is interesting. I've seen once again in my lifetime, you know, with this advent of new media and new technology, we all have information instantly.
Right.
So, you know, there was a time when it moved a little slower, and we certainly weren't aware of what was going on, where people, you know, senators are boffing their interns and on and all that mess. That gets us sidetracked from the real issues of what's going on. And it just takes up an enormous amount of time. And as my grandfather, that was his quote, you know, where are the statesmen? All we have are politicians who are furthering their own agenda. It is very hard for we the people.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
So, but part of that has to fall on our own shoulders individually. I talked to somebody the other day and they said, oh, I don't even bother voting anymore. I said, then shut up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, good, bad, or indifferent. If you're not part of it, you know, if you're not part of the change you want to see, shut up.
Well, and Bill Clinton, though, had such a way, no matter what happened in that scandal. I mean, there's so many people that have done much worse, I think, than what he did with Ms. Lewinsky.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, who's the person who's the most wrong in this is for her keeping that dress. Wash it.
That's repelling. Absolutely.
Anyway, but what I was going to say is that he had such a way talking to international leaders that was not. He was not in their face. He was so smart that I think he was and he was also able to cross the party line, too.
Yeah.
People listened to him.
Yeah. And he was an amazing, amazing statement.
People liked him. People liked him, you know.
The world liked him.
Yeah, you know. And, yeah, I think he did a great job as president, you know. I mean, you know, the other stuff that he did, like you said, you know, it's not a big deal, you know. You know, blowjob in the White House.
Because I worked the Clinton-Gore campaign the first time in 92. Just a small grassroots, you know, helping people sign up and so forth. But I remember I was in San Francisco. I was flying at the time when he said, I never had sex with that woman. I thought, I can tell you're lying. Just say yes. Then it's done. Yep. Yeah. Big tramp right here. Big
kind of like what David Letterman did, which I thought was really... Yeah, I really respected him in that moment.
Then it's done.
Yeah.
Yes, you are, and your poor wife, and the fact she didn't use a skillet upside your head, not for the fact that you did it, the fact that you were sloppy about it. That's
yeah,
the problem.
I mean, that's the problem.
That's, once again, not the first time in the White House that somebody's been scampering around in undies behind, you know, the oval doors. Yeah.
And if it means that, you know, our stocks are going to go up and people aren't homeless, I'm for it. Go
My
for
portfolio
it.
Yeah. Never looked
You're going for more blowjobs.
Yeah, please.
In the White
House. More. That's going to be, you know, Obama should have signs. More blowjobs in the White House. Yes.
People always go back. I will tell you that, especially during the Bush administration, I missed Ronald Reagan for the simple fact he could walk to a microphone and I didn't flinch. Right. Every time George W. was like, oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to embarrass. Oh,
I agree. Oh, I agree. I think W was...
The second one. The first one wasn't
W.
so bad.
Yeah. No, he was the second. Although I couldn't stand his father either.
I
you
didn't
know?
Vote for his father either.
But, no, but you mentioned something about, you know, Obama being an adult, you know, because I think that Bush was definitely childish. You know, I don't think he was very mature. And I don't think he was... he was definitely not a two-term president.
No.
You know, he's not two-term material at all, and I was shocked when he was elected the second time.
Well, I don't know that he was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true,
too. Well, there you have it. But that's the other thing. You know, we lay so much at the president's doorstep when really we the people here in this democracy have to take a lot of the responsibility upon ourselves. Of, you know, and Mary and I did a show about this, about what kind of service are you giving back?
Right.
Everyone's so willing to get. And receiving and getting are two different things. You know, where's mine? I deserve it. Well, what have you done for it?
Yeah.
Now, did you know, I heard this statistic. I don't know how true it is. I heard it on talk radio that over 61% of this country is on public assistance currently.
Are you serious?
61%.
Wow.
So no wonder, you know, when you were saying we're spread thin, I don't know that, you know, in the Federal Reserve, that if they open the door, there's just not moths.
Yeah. Where's the money?
Where's the money going?
Yeah.
But has big business corrupted it that much? you know, are we, you know, listening to conspiracy theorists? You know, it is interesting that a great deal of my family think that Ronald Reagan was the greatest president that we had. And when I mentioned that I was a Clinton supporter, they're like, oh, no. I said, well, here's the deal. My portfolio never looked so good while Clinton was in the White House. And they're like, well, Ronald Reagan was, you know, in the Oval Office. He never took his jacket off because of the respect for the office. I said, he didn't know he was wearing a jacket. So, you know, I just, and he was a lovely person. I had a friend of mine who was an old, old Hollywood man who was in the room when Ronald Reagan read for a role as president of the United States at MGM.
Really?
And he said, I wished I'd kept the audition slip because somebody wrote at the bottom, I don't think Ronnie, no one will believe him as president. We believed him. We didn't believe him for two terms.
I know.
Wow.
And that's what scares me is we don't believe Trump could be president either. And, you know. Who knows, you know, because I think usually what happens in elections, people go after people that they know, you know, and that's the thing with Trump. He's got name recognition, you know, people know him and stuff. And then you're going to bring someone who's anonymous and nobody's heard of him before. Mm-hmm. Trump probably stands a better chance.
Trump will trump them.
Yes.
Oh, look at you. You must be a comic. Yeah. Well, no, that see, celebrity is mistaken for, once again, statesmanship. Mm-hmm. We think we know him.
Yeah.
You know, which is frightening. And then it becomes a popularity contest. Right. And trust me, I would much rather see Barack Obama in a Speedo than Donald Trump.
Well, thank you for the clarification.
I want you.
And I think Melania is the first lady. I think that's his wife.
Yeah.
She's a little...
Melania, yeah.
Yeah, Melania.
She's only 31 years old.
Well, aren't they all?
Yeah.
When he finds them, aren't
actually,
they?
Actually,
like,
I'm sorry. She's 41. She was born in 70.
Well, parts of her.
Wow,
are
31. She looks good for 30, for 41. Let me tell you.
Marla Maples was a pretty girl.
That's true. Yeah. She was, huh?
Did she keep the house in Florida?
I think she kept everything.
She kept. Ivana. Yeah, she was a good housekeeper. She kept every house they had.
Yeah.
Well, good for her. Yeah. Right? But you know, no. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, and I've said this story before. My father was the East Coast campaign coordinator for John McCain. Mm. My father, you know, one of the only Republican Kennedys in the House. That's all I'm going to say. And I liked John McCain.
I did too.
I really did.
Yeah. Love his wife.
And I think Sarah Palin really screwed that up for him. So I'm not saying that if a Republican was running that I wouldn't vote for them.
Right.
It's just they've got to have the chops. Right. And I think, you know, this Sarah Palin, Trump, whoever they throw up there, you know, because I saw this whole thing on Reagan and how he was the one, and I got a sense that he was kind of reluctant about it in the end, that the sort of born again Christian and the Republicans sort of merged around him, right. And I think it's created a monster because I don't think he really wanted that. I think it increased his popularity, but I think in the end it's a definite combining of church and state, and
yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, both Reagan and Clinton were pretty popular, you know, and they're from different parties and all that. But, you know, that's why, you know, I don't take any party affiliation. I just go with the one that makes sense for me at the time, you know, because I don't think life is that black and white, you know, and it's not Republican, you know, Democrats and stuff. I mean, there's just all shades in between you know, and you have to, you know, I don't like when people always argue along party lines, you know, because it's like no matter what, whether you're right or wrong, it's because that's what the conservatives say. That's what I'm going to say, you know, or vice versa. And so, you know, I don't take any positions until I know, you know, and that's why I really hope that Obama could do a better job. I don't know. I think the jury's still out on him, you know.
My sweet grandfather used to say, few people think. Mm-hmm. Even fewer think for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's just easier if you happen to, you know, see it on USA Today or on Fox News to go, oh, look, they already thought about it for me, so I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and people are mostly wandering around in a haze. And because it's so maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't ever remember a time that we had such pressure and stress every moment.
Right.
You know, we're Twittering, we're you know, it's so annoying to hear people whispering in bathroom stalls on their cell phone. Really, can't you take just this moment?
Yeah, exactly.
Just relax just for a second. There's nothing so pressing that we can't wait for the paperwork to be done and you out of here. Because I don't want to be sitting there constrained here. No, no, we need eggs and milk. And really? Really? It just, that, you know, no.
No, I know.
All right. Well, you guys, tell us briefly what your show is about so people can tune in and listen.
Oh, you're looking at me.
Well, it's not, as you remind me, it's not called the O'Paul Show.
No, it's called the O'Mary Show. I am the Mary, you're the O. That's it. So, no, our show is I would say it's a fun talk show. It's like Paul and I, you're because, you know, I'm a mom and I have no social life now. It's like that we go out and have coffee with you on the radio. Mm-hmm. So it's really Paul and I talking about topics.
Well, yeah, we're a topic-driven show.
Right.
And I sit down and we work out the topics, and we have some amazing guests. And we just did one on the loss of Titanic and the 99th anniversary.
Oh, really? Wow.
And we had an expert in who's been down to the wreck.
Wow.
So we run the gamut from that to we had an amazing show on bullying.
Yeah, that was life-changing. We had a lot of...
We got a lot of really amazing response. Or bromance, or are they gay?
Yeah.
This new relaxed masculinity, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So we're a topic-driven show, and you just get to hear all sorts of
sounds like a lot of fun, and you guys are definitely funny and great and interesting. And so Mary Kennedy and Paul Jacek, Tuesdays at 7. Oh, Mary, thank you guys so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much, and bless you, Stephanie. You have all my
yes, Stephanie. Yes. We have our condolences, and everybody will be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.